a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town.
Ladies, gentlemen, welcome back to Black and Blurred.
Hi.
Pathetic.
I had to work over here.
You that see was Darren. I know.
The fade work is crazy.
Because it was pretty good. That was pretty good. We still have a producer who's wanted, though. Have a wanted producer. So if you would like to produce a podcast, holler at us. Holler at us. Guys, we're back with another episode. By this time, you've listened to an episode with Dr. Carol Swain, an episode with Kevin McGarry, where we talk about affirmative action, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And now we have an add-on to those fire episodes with a dear brother of ours. Man, when did we first meet?
That's a good question.
I want to say, but I don't know, it has to be probably maybe 6 years ago.
I want to say, I think I was baptized in 2015.
2015?
Yeah.
Yikes. Yep. So that's 7 years ago.
That's a long time.
I did my math wrong.
Well, we have a dear brother here who we were in ministry or at a local ministry at church together, and he left us. Oh, actually, I think I left you, didn't I? When we planted. Yeah. Well, we all left each other. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. But you're back and have been, even throughout the time of the church plant and up till now at the podcast, you are always an incredible support, bro. Always an incredible support. And we're glad to be able to just have an episode where we talk about some topics and highlight the fact that people probably aren't thinking well when it comes to these topics. But first, let me introduce you. Justin, welcome.
How's it going,
Chris? Welcome to Black and Blurred, man.
What's up, man?
Welcome to Black and Blurred. Don't be afraid of the mic. You gotta attack it. Attack the mic.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that was the, how do you say his last name? Jason Aldean?
Aldean.
Okay, that makes sense. song that's making waves right now because apparently it's the most racist thing in the country.
Yeah.
It's the most racist thing in the country. Did either of you feel attacked? That little clip that you listened to?
No, I mean, only that the musicians are miming.
They're miming?
Yeah, they're not playing that.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Oh, yeah, because they're doing a lot of movement.
Right.
They're doing
a lot of movement.
Too much. Yeah.
That's offensive. But everything else, I know they can really play.
I want to listen to Darren. You came over here prepared for the episode with some clips, kind of like to help preface the reason why we are going to have a conversation about thinking well. Because you got our favorite show, The View, their take on this video, and then we also have. What's the other thing?
No other thing.
Why am I thinking about something else?
I don't know. Because you saw Brandon Tatum.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, it's his reaction to
that's
their reaction.
That's true. I got you.
We're going to take out the middleman.
We're gonna look at The View's reaction to this. But, Justin, you didn't know about any of this, right?
It's my first time watching this.
Yeah, I didn't know about it. That's my first time watching the music video. We just watched it. What do you think about the song?
You know, the first thing that came to my mind is one of the primary accusations against Christians is that we're white evangelicals. First of all, I'm not white, but I am a Christian. And you know, I think what this song is doing is kind of promoting some kind of idea or ideology. And my question to people is, especially in today's environment, all the hot topics of gender identity, sexuality, inequality, and given a more generic definition of evangelism, which is to promulgate or promote something enthusiastically.
Yeah.
If we promote these ideas in our culture, schools, and media, which I think is happening now, my question is, are we evangelizing or not?
Hmm.
And so when I see this video, I can already kind of guess what kind of rhetoric is going to, you know, come as opposing this. But I think first we need to establish, like, are we allowed to promote our ideas?
Yeah, right.
And it seems very, like there's a double standard in regards to what you can say and what you can
do. Oh, yeah, most certainly. Most certainly. Yeah. You know, that was, well, what did you think of the song, Darren?
You know, as music, I like it.
Right.
As a song, some of the thoughts that came to my mind were, unity. I thought of unity. I thought of things that should unify us. That's what I thought of. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of unity. I thought of this should unify us, but I know that it's not.
Yeah.
It uses the weapon for disunity. But I thought of unity. I see things like American flags in a music video. I see clips of some of America's worst moments during riots. I'm assuming they're all from 2020, but they were just riots.
Yeah,
I can't say they were all from 2020, but there were just a bunch of riots, a bunch of disunity.
Right.
And then the song is actually talking about stopping that violence.
Right.
And I remember I told my wife after listening to the song, like, man, like what he's talking about in a small town about what's the line he says? Basically, we take care of our own in a small town. That's like so far-fetched of an idea.
Yeah.
To actually be neighbors to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Most of us don't even know our neighbors.
Yeah.
Let alone if something terrible would have happened to them, us going to help them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a far-fetched idea.
You just brought up
idea.
A good point. How much deterioration? So how much deterioration there has been to even established values? You brought up the flag. Mm-hmm. The flag is a racist symbol now to people, which is so mind-boggling to me. But then you also brought up, or just talking about try that in a small town. I think that if there's a small town where these values still exist, then it's their strong values.
Yeah.
Because I think there was an aspect of community where we grew up.
Right.
All black,
yeah.
All black neighborhood, all black city,
mm-hmm.
Our specific block, all black. And I have to imagine, I mean, we know about the things that happen in other households.
Brandon Tatum mentioned that, and you know, because of all the attacks of the video, he mentioned that he grew up in a small town,
mm-hmm.
and it was all black.
Yeah.
His grandmother was the matriarch of the community while his grandfather went out to work. His grandmother was where people went. If there was trouble, they went to her.
That was our house.
And they said, hey, this person's going through this down here. And she mm-hmm. would go down there and give them whatever they need to call 911, whatever it was. He said that sense of community existed in most communities.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It wasn't just a white thing. You know, it's a white person singing a song, so they assume they're talking about, you know, West Virginia, white, you know.
Well, it's definitely
Tennessee.
You know, yeah, very white video.
Yeah, right.
It's a country song.
Right, right, right.
But
and so, yeah, right. The genre of the music is going to dictate
right.
what people feel about it.
Put an 808 in there and be like, try that in a small town.
Right.
Small town. Then we.
Right.
It's different. What about you, Jess? I mean.
Even the house is white. You know? the thing that I think is, and I notice, is the song takes a very defensive posture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know. A little aggressive, but it's basically saying don't bring that here.
Yeah,
this kind of goes along the lines of you know, are we evangelizing or not?
Mm. So
they're basically saying don't disrupt our community.
Mm.
And you know, I think certain ideologies are in conflict there, where they don't welcome like Christian evangelism, but they don't realize that they're doing their own form
on evangelism. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
And I think that is the heart of this song. Like, don't
wait, you lost me. So who doesn't know? Who's evangelizing, you're saying?
I think everyone does.
Yeah.
But the Christian is aware of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I'm going to try to do, because I'll definitely put my foot in my mouth, is offer certain hard opinions, because I could go a little hard. So
you go know. Hard. This is black and blurred, bro.
I can go a little
hard. Go hard.
But, you know... because my motivation really is, I've had a lot of heated political debates. So I do work in the tech world,
mm-hmm.
very liberal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, made a lot of friends that I actually do love. But when politics comes into play, it's always so divisive. And
yeah.
Cool. And, you know, over the pandemic, I actually did lose a friend. he didn't die, we just aren't friends anymore.
Yeah.
Over a heated political debate, and I'm not happy about it.
Mm.
I do take some fault in it. He's not blameless either, but, you know, in casual conversation, I'll definitely joke and go hard, but I think the heart of it is, like, we're not each other's enemies.
Yeah.
Right.
And so my motivation is really to hope to, you know, talk to people with respect and dignity in a way to get them to relax their fists.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to take this, like, immovable, you know, defensive posture against anything I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And so that's what I want to be careful about, because yeah. I do have a potent stupidity to me that it can be really offensive, and you know,
I can relate to that. Yeah, I think my quick bullet points are musically speaking, I like the song. I like the song. Visually speaking, aesthetically speaking, it is definitely a small white town. Seems to be the optics of it. But it doesn't seem to be talking about only a small white town. It's just,
he's in right now. Optics, yeah. They filmed this in Columbia, Tennessee. That's important for the other people when they attack him. That's a Capitol building in Tennessee, Columbia, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see. Okay. So, yeah, and I would agree with what Just said. It's like anything. I don't say this is necessary something against them, but it's definitely a defensive posture, which seems to be perpetuated in a lot. What was the last song that came out? The Reclaim the Rainbow, right?
I don't know that.
Reclaim the Rainbow. Shamika is in it.
Oh, I never heard that.
But yeah, I mean, we're in this society now where we talked about this with Dr. Carol Swain. People are wanting to know they're not crazy. Mm-hmm. And so here, an example is when someone comes out and they see crime running rampant in the streets like it's Gotham. And if you comment on it, race gets brought into it and you become racist. And it's like, what in the heck? So I can't be against crime now. I can't look at people snatching and grabbing, running out of Targets and Walmarts and things like that without being called racist. And I think that brewing over time will create a situation like this where it's like, look, I'm going to stand my ground. Try that in a small town.
Yeah. More practically speaking, there are laws against stopping people from committing crimes in some states. New York has laws where if you stop someone from robbing a CVS,
mm-hmm.
they can sue you and press charges and you can go to jail.
Yeah.
Security guards are not allowed to use firearms on someone robbing them. In places like New York, I think New Jersey, California. There are plenty of states that don't allow you to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Let alone have a firearm. You can forget that. But even defend yourself with anything you have, you have to let these criminals do what they're going to do. And then when those criminals, if those criminals get arrested, they're let out. Because the crime isn't that bad, I guess.
Yeah.
What is it? Chicago has basically, if you don't kill somebody, you're getting out. if you don't commit murder one, basically, you're getting out of prison. And I think this is a defense to that reality.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so aggressive, because it's like, man, is anybody...
People are dying.
People are actually getting attacked and killed. You know, remember the guy in... I didn't show you the video, but there was a guy in New York... they found, thank God, who was just riding around on a moped shooting people. And like, New York has like the biggest police department in the world.
Yeah, like that's a perfect example. And if you go to a small town and doing that, you're getting shot at.
Yeah,
you're getting shot.
Not
back.
Gonna.
You're getting shot back,
and they're gonna know who you are, Bill. Bill yeah. O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
Where'd you get that scooter? They're gonna know who you are.
Oh boy, what type of neighborhood did you grow up in?
I'm over here about to change camera angles.
Different types.
Okay.
So, the time that my parents immigrated, I think, was a time where Koreans were kind of late to the immigration game. Mm. And
we say Chinese first, as far as Asians are concerned?
Probably Chinese or Japanese. Mm-hmm. Filipinos. Koreans were a little late. we were just watching what was going on and how it was going to go, you know. But most people at that time, I think, came for opportunity, not out of excess. Uh-huh. And so, you know, we kind of changed the feel of the neighborhood. I would say we started off maybe not the best areas. Yeah. And then, you know, watched my dad and mom, fortunately, work very hard. And then we kind of got to see the other end of that. They're not, you know, wealthy by any means, but certainly better circumstances.
Yeah.
So I've experienced kind of the spectrum of, you know, different classes.
Yeah, pretty well-rounded.
Yeah,
I would say the same for us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we've
just
talked about
just
that.
Based just based on experience,
right,
not
different
really, not necessarily where we lived.
Yeah, right, right.
Meeting different people who lived in different contexts, you learn different expectations, ways of living.
Yeah, right.
Skills.
Right. Right. Now, this might sound blunt, but Koreans, I think Asians, we say this a lot on this podcast, they lose the minority in America game. You know, even when caring about minorities was cool, because it's as far as ethnic minorities, that's not cool anymore. Even black people are off the map. It's all about gay stuff. When that was cool, it wasn't about Asians. We're you know, there was a time where it was like stop Asian hate, but then that had to die because it was black people committing to Asian hate. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
talk about that too much.
Yeah. Shoot, I forgot where I was going with that. What did I say?
Stop beating up Asian people.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. Mm-hmm. So a Korean American or American of Korean descent will fall in one of two categories of American culture: white American culture, black American culture. Where would you say you've fallen?
Right in between.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in PG County.
Okay. You
know, a lot of black influence there.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly have a lot of white friends that I love dearly. And, you know, I would say I have a lot of family that's both.
Yeah.
Know their family, know their moms and dads, eat, you know, break bread with them. So somewhere in the middle. And also, you know, somewhat in the middle, you can throw Asian in there, and I'm in the middle of that too.
Mm.
So, you know, pretty fortunate to have a diverse experience.
Mm. Yeah. That's going to be what rules the day in the future.
Yeah.
Younger generations who are well-rounded, who understand the world.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some things we want to dive into with you, Jess. You're going to be helping us dive into some things with good questions, but we got to listen to our favorite ladies on The View and just let's see what type of wisdom they can give us regarding this video and how we ought to think about it.
I'll just start somewhere in the middle. They just talk over each other. There's nowhere to really start in a View video.
It's so fun listening to them talk over each other. It's so relaxing. I love it.
Goodness.
Around him didn't say to him, hey, listen, you know what? Maybe there's a better way to do this because...
Well, the imagery invoked race. That's what was...
There's no reason to separate big city people from small town people. That, to me, is the divisive part of this song. I mean, it's a deplorable song and it's annoying. Got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up. Well, that S might fly in the city. Good luck. It's very divisive and provocative, but I defend his right to do this video.
Absolutely.
Because they can't censor me, they shouldn't censor him either. But he has to understand that the big cities are supporting the small towns. 70 blue counties are responsible for 70% of America's economy.
All backwards.
The big cities are really providing the things that you have in these small towns. You should not be against big cities.
Yeah, but okay, so when I first heard the title before I heard the song, I kind of thought, oh, great. A small town song, like, because I am from a small town in Iowa. I understand the pride and the differentiation between towns and rural communities and the cities, because you're not thought of very highly in this country, never have. Like, when you come out here, I was always that girl from Iowa. Mm-hmm. Understandably, I claim it proudly. But the point is that we have...
What's wrong with saying that girl from Iowa?
No, they weren't saying it in a way. They're like, oh, she doesn't get it. It's from Iowa. You know, the point is we have a simple life. It's about family. It's about church. It's about community. Big cities have that, too.
I have the same exact
point. Well, let me finish my point. Big cities have the same thing. I had that in my own area in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is not...
Pause this real quick.
But my point is coming...
I was just trying to find something more interesting, too.
Are they going to talk about what the video's about? The murders and the crime that's running rampant in the city?
They immediately changed. They started talking about whether or not it was about big cities or small cities.
Yeah.
But I will address that's a little backwards. What she says, a little backwards.
I know. If the farmers all stop.
Yeah. About cities supporting small towns. Yeah. It's a little bit opposite there. The small towns support big cities. Where do cities get food from? And if you rob all these stores and all these, what's what state is that? I'm thinking New York. I think it was New York. But there's a Walgreens. No, New Orleans. All the Walgreens in New Orleans have chains on the frozen food section because they said the pizza and frozen foods just keep getting stolen every day. They lose hundreds of thousands of dollars a week.
That's crazy.
From people just walking in and taking stuff. And so the CEO was like, yeah, the next step is we move out of New Orleans. I mean, we can't stay here.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Now there's no food. And then you'll cry about, oh, there's no grocery stores in low-income communities.
What is it called? Food deserts?
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's no grocery. There's no food. And it's like, well, some of these businesses can't survive. And that's the reality that nobody wants to address.
Yeah.
But anyway, the small towns actually are like the backbone of the country.
Of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of farmers, industrial, even some small town industrial places.
Right.
Are the backbone of the country.
I mean, are they just allergic to saying what's true? I don't get it. I mean, not to change subjects, but in a completely different context, if this was talking about, like, what was that degenerative video with Cardi B and the other girl, where it's just, you know, Cardi, it's B, disgusting. Yeah. Whatever. Just pick one.
Oh, WAP.
There you go. WAP. If a woman came out and said, this is offensive to women, it degrades women, and it's not something that little girls should aspire to, The View would disagree with her. If they haven't already, I don't watch The View. I mean, I'm sorry. That's our favorite TV show. Yes, we do. No. But I mean, if they haven't already talked about it, I'm just saying, it's like, and this goes kind of back to what you were saying earlier, Jess, where you'd like this defensive stance in the video is going to evoke a return response, equal and opposite reaction, right? But
that's what I thought when I heard it. Here we go.
Yeah.
I don't think the aggression is unwarranted.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the more liberal people have kind of been dominating, you know, at least media and
stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Pop culture in general.
Pop culture, absolutely.
I knew there was going to be a point where enough was enough, and it's going to escalate. And maybe some good will come of it, but it's not going to come without sacrifice.
No, seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, that's one of my points that I didn't bring up. If you can look at this and appreciate the video as someone with self-control, then there are others also who can look at it as, a line drawn in the sand, and they don't have self-control. There's people. I mean, we're still dealing with people, still dealing with sinners. Like, the world isn't sinful because people are murdering and robbing in the cities.
Right. Yeah.
It's sinful because everybody has sin and sin. So everybody's capable of it. And so I think about those who are purely conservative. That's their identity. That's their identity. And this kind of strokes that heartstring as well. But that's an issue that they're not talking about. I don't see this as a conversation on race.
No, yeah, they inserted that.
Yeah. You know, and so once upon a time, I didn't see the American flag as a conversation on race. I still don't consider it a conversation on race. But that's been, I mean, we've been, had that jammed down our throats through football games and through basketball games and through, you know, dodgeball game. It's like, I mean, whatever. Everything had to remind us that, hey, we should care about the way we look and make sure you remain separated. And then here are some other things that you should be separated on when it comes to the way you look. We don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation gets, you lose more IQ points.
Yeah.
That's the most sane the conversation
right
is. It gets worse.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
For the listener, the most value I could derive out of what we watched was Whoopi Goldberg was in Sister Act.
Bro, I was on YouTube and I was letting the boys just listen to old stuff, And I pulled up Oh Happy Day, Sister Act.
It's a good movie.
I was like, man, what happened to this Whoopi?
Sister Act 2, man. That's yeah, that's it.
This Whoopi. Whoopi. But yeah, Sister Act and Sister Act 2. Which one is better?
2.
Did both of them have Lauryn Hill in it?
No.
Oh, just the second one, man.
El Boogie's only in one.
That was the one.
Is that one, yeah.
Y'all never saw Sister Act 3? Like,
oh, my God. Stop playing.
You know, you always stumble upon that one sequel that you never heard about with some low-budget actor in.
No, yeah.
Oh, boys. We were just, you and I were having a conversation a month or two ago, even talking about doing an episode, and we were just, you mentioned something that I want you to expound upon, and that one thing just, I think what our conversation was in general was like, you know, how have you been looking at the way things have been happening in the country as a minority, as a American of Korean ethnic heritage? Their thoughts, they're probably different from others. They probably have overlap. And so what are your thoughts on that? And one of the things that you brought up was from a Christian perspective, which for every Christian, that's going to be the case, ought to be the case. That people aren't thinking well about things. I mean, we talked about some of that already here, but just in general, from, you know, a myriad of conversations across different contexts, people just don't seem to be thinking well about stuff, have insufficient thoughts. Like, what are some of the things that you were referencing in regards to that?
Yeah, so kind of want to preface this conversation with 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
The first is the faculty of human reasoning is incredibly powerful,
mm-hmm.
but it's deeply flawed.
Yeah,
and some of the primary offenders are conflation, equating two things to be the same that are different, but they might be similar or related. Projection, which is imposing your attributes onto someone else or something else. And then we have this tendency to make kind of like a superficial analysis of things and then integrate them to our identity. We feel very strongly about things we didn't take much time to think about.
Mm.
I think that describes modern political discourse.
Mm.
And the second thing is communication is hard. So if you think about what I just said, you're starting with thoughts and emotions that you don't fully understand. And a symptom of that is inconsistency in your views. You attempt to capture them using finite and therefore limited vocabulary. And then you have to convey that to somebody who doesn't have your full context.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all under the assumption that your desire is to have the other person understand what you're saying, and you're not talking just to hear yourself.
Yeah, and agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I wish people would respect those things more, because I think the environment doesn't have to be so divisive and volatile. If we all just take a step back and, you know, think to ourselves, like, do I really know what I'm saying? Have I worked out these complex feelings?
Mm.
And when I talk to someone, am I respecting what I'm trying to do and the difficulty, especially when things are so abstract?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just looking at a video last episode. Wait, was that last episode? On the college?
Yes.
Yeah. We were just looking at a video last episode. There was a white guy that went to a HBCU, and he had like a change my mind sign, sit down and talk, let's talk. And it was America's not a racist country, right? Is that right? Okay. And so, you know, obviously the conversation went the way you see it in your mind right now. But there was one point when one of the girls was kind of accusing him of having come prepared. Like, you came to our campus, you already have your figures in your mind, you have statistics and things like that. Meanwhile, I don't have anything. I don't, this is after engaging him, you know, with vitriol, and with a lot of passion and not a lot to say, but just a lot of emotion, and saying, well, I don't have all the things to back up my argument in my mind. And I was thinking, well, then why do you have that thought in the first place?
Right.
What's your stance founded on?
Yeah. So basically, you know, what she's saying is I'm not prepared.
Yeah.
I don't have an argument. So I will attack the fact that you are prepared and that you do have an argument.
Yeah.
That's my argument.
I really wish people would get some perspective. You know, go travel to different countries and get to know different cultures, because I will tell you, Asians are racist, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I have Spanish friends that say even amongst, you know, Hispanics, there's a hierarchy. Mm. And that's how they view other cultures.
Yeah.
And here we are, two black guys, one Asian guy talking, but this country is so racist.
Yeah.
And that's actually a thought that I had. I don't know if I'm biased, but it seems like of all the faiths, Christianity is attacked the most.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But when you look at it, we're the most diverse body. Yeah. Like, there's 100%. So many things that align with what the world is trying to grasp at.
Yeah.
Talk about equality and love that the Christian... This is difficult to say because obviously there are some Christians and churches that...
The Christian ideal is what you're pointing to, yeah.
Go out, go to different countries. I had a Jewish friend, looks white, went to Japan, and he said he just got turned away from certain places. And they'll just say things like, no foreigners, or sorry, we're closed, and they're obviously not closed.
Yeah.
He's pretty liberal, so...
I rocked his world.
He literally said in a text to me, I wish other people could experience this. And I did have some black friends who went to Korea, experienced the same thing. They just got turned away. There were no protests. There was... No, repercussions. Mm. It just was the way that it was.
They should have just had a fried chicken contest on the spot right there. Your fried chicken, my fried chicken. Let's go.
That's something I would participate
in. Korean fried chicken I participate. Korean fried chicken is crazy.
It is.
Goodness.
So, my brain just shut off. I was about to say something in response to that. You were talking about people experiencing we're together. I think we even brought this up last episode, but it's mind-boggling to me, especially during the 2016 time when racism incarnate took office. And one of my retorts to this conversation on racism is that it's not one directional. This idea that white people are racist towards, everybody else. And that's the way racism works. I'm like, well, no, it's a sin issue.
Yeah.
And then that's seen as an overly simplistic response. But I think it's an accurate response.
That's it. Yeah.
It's an accurate response. Someone said to me that when you say that racism is a sin issue, it seems too simplistic. And I was saying, look, if you think it's too simplistic, then you have a very small view of sin. And like what you're highlighting, it's like these things, you can go anywhere in the world, different contexts. We have biases and show partiality in different ways. Mm-hmm. even in, what would you call it? Intra-racial communities. You can go into a black community and you got people who treat light-skinned people differently.
Right.
You can go to you can go to Baltimore. If you're from the county, you get treated differently. Yeah, I mean, so it's just, we're not thinking well about sin. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, the thing that's overlooked is everyone is like tribalistic,
right? You know? Yeah.
But so everyone is prejudiced, and sometimes prejudice is good, right? If you have a bunch of murderers, I'm prejudiced against them.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
And that's a good prejudice, and everyone practices it because when you look at a group of friends, they all have something in common, and that's a criteria which determines like that friend group. Mm-hmm. And so. If it's not race, then is it any better if I'll only hang out with smart people or rich people?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for some reason, those things aren't attacked or looked at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I, reflect on this video that I saw. It was one of the more popular political commentators. I don't remember his name. He's a white guy. He was on stage with a bunch of white people. Mm-hmm. And then someone stood up in the audience and said, this is racist. You guys are all white. He looks at the woman and says, like, look, one of these people is gay. The other is European. Mm-hmm. This person is a Democrat. This person is a Republican.
Yeah.
Like, the only diversity that you see is race, which is ironically racist.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that was Stephen Crowder.
Yeah, I think that was Stephen Crowder, actually. Yeah.
It's like the only diversity you don't care about is diversity of thought.
Yes.
Which is interesting because I think we see that in churches, too. Diversity, we've bought into the secular view of diversity, where I think the two main things would be having a multicolored congregation and then having a multi-gendered leadership team. Those are the two main things. And that's the only view of diversity we care about.
Yeah, and you know, before diving in, I want to provide a framework. I tend to kind of take a step back and look at things from a more holistic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to preface this because this is a faith-based podcast. So
yeah.
One thing I do want to say is science and faith are often juxtaposed, and faith seen as an inferior mode of thinking. So in other words, faith is viewed as a poor substitute when science is either absent or has reached its limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian is often cornered into deceptive circumstances, so we're asked to justify our beliefs using tools that only the world gives us.
Hmm. Is that like, from an apologetic context, I think that's an example would be somebody saying, what evidences do you have for Jesus' existence? And you can't use the Bible, right? Because it's like that's not a historical book.
Yep. And then a failure to answer any question is taken to be disproof.
Mm.
Meanwhile, both the Christian and the world overlook the fact that secular views are often not asked and cannot withstand the same degree of scrutiny without borrowing our tool of faith.
Mm.
Right. Absolutely.
So if secular views are in fact intellectually superior, then they shouldn't be guilty of the same criticisms.
Right.
So that's kind of how I want to frame this talk, because when we talk about things like equality, I wonder, has the rest of the world really taking a deep dive into, like, what are we even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So some questions I'll ask about equality are, given that we have a multitude of identities and attributes like race, gender, faith, political affiliation, intelligence, stature, like height and weight, and it's impossible to enforce equality across them all.
Mm.
So how do we select which criteria to use when we're pursuing equality? I do understand the temptation to use race and gender, given our country's history.
Right.
But it's fair to ask, are those the primary offenders today?
Right.
Which kind of leads me to my next question. How do you measure inequality?
yeah, there needs to be a standard, right?
Yeah, and how? And in our pursuit for equality, how do we do that in a way that's fair?
Well, one of those things that we see, we talked about this with Dr. Carol Swain, is that... this is a bit misleading of an answer, but equality has gone away. It's still being represented, but it's misrepresented through equity. Mm-hmm. And that so the way that we measure it is by everybody turning out the same.
Yep.
And if you don't turn out the same, it's because of a disparity that has crept in due to racism in some structural form of racism.
And that actually ties perfectly in with my next point, which is what does success look like? How do we know when we've achieved it? And you know, that's a perfect point to kind of mention the recent Supreme Court case that basically invalidated race-conscious admissions at Harvard and UNC.
Mm. That makes us enemies.
Yes. That oddly, you know, I think this puts Asians and Black Americans at odds.
Yeah.
And so for the listener... the context is that over the past 18 years, data has shown that Asian American students have scored higher than all other race groups.
Are you bragging right now? Or is it?
Well, I brought the average down. So I think I actually fell asleep during the SATs. So the reason that's important is because the SATs are probably the most objective measure. And that's important because even things like GPA are so dependent on things like the classes taken,
yeah.
How difficult they are, what school did you go to. And anytime there's variables, you kind of leave the door open for bias,
yeah.
Which is what we're trying to stop, supposedly.
Mm.
And so there's this trend where it seems like the punchline basically is, given limited admissions, by giving preferential treatment to one group, you're necessarily discriminating against another.
Right.
And so this is one of the things I want to point out, that we all think we know what we're saying when we talk about equality, but when we actually try to put it into practice, the math isn't so simple.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we to view this? And I don't think there's a good answer for it.
Mm.
And meanwhile, while we're using this kind of measure of equality, like the outcome, you know, how many students are admitted. In the whole history of the NFL and NBA, name me 10 professional Asian athletes.
And simple.
I guarantee
you. So you got no.
Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin Sanity.
Yao Ming.
Yao.
And silence.
You said NFL, and I was about to go off on baseball.
Oh, baseball. No.
I was about to go off. Like, what?
Nah, baseball. They
entered the market.
Yeah, man. And taking over.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
So my question is, if we're using the same metrics, is the NFL and NBA racist?
Mm.
Colin Kaepernick would say so.
Yeah, for different reasons.
Right.
But that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a great point.
All right. So don't go anywhere, guys. We're going to come up with a part two. I hope you guys are tracking with us and joining us in this conversation. And we look forward to you joining us in part two. Thank you for listening to this episode of Black and Blurred, where you're guaranteed to hear one of two things: our humble opinion
or the facts.
Holler at us.